Well, thank you, Melissa. I feel all empowered. Well, here we are again. And I was thinking back, it's just so fun to come here and see now very familiar and wonderful faces and friends. And we're drawing to the close another year of Bible study. And this is the second year in a row that you have been studying women in the Bible, right?
Yes.
And so we should know all the women in the Bible and all of their names and all of their stories by now. But what a gift it has been. So hopefully, throughout this time, you have deepened your understanding of how God works in our lives, and you've grown in ways to realize that faithfulness can look very different in everyone's daily lives. And these women, their witness offers us a good model for the way that we can love and serve and follow God today. It's really very fitting that we end this year with Priscilla. When we look back over the study, we remember just some of the women, Hannah and her son Samuel, and she taught us about parenting, prayer, and our influence on others. We remember Anna, the one in the temple. And her joy in serving. We remember the Shunammite woman and her rewards of hospitality, how she made a place in her home. We remember Dorcas and how she made all those beautiful clothes for her friends and community and was so well remembered and her kindness. And I bet you have your own favorites as well. And now we come today to Priscilla, and the title of her chapter is Living and Giving. It's almost as if the study has been teaching us all along that Christian life is not living one isolated virtue. It's living a whole pattern of grace, prayer and service and hospitality and kindness. And then with Priscilla, a life that gathers all of those into one beautiful witness. As you remember, Hannah taught us that a woman's influence can be deeply rooted in prayer. She reminds us that our interior lives, our hidden life with God, is not secondary. In our prayer, we connect with God. And this is what we work on in spiritual direction. How are we connecting with God? Hannah teaches us this. All the good we are able to do in our lives stems from this connection with God. Prayer is the opening of our souls to grace. And this grace God is so delighted to give us. As Saint Teresa of Avila reminds us, prayer is nothing else than being on terms of friendship with God. Anna, she taught us that service can be marked by joy. Here was this aging woman hanging out in the temple. She'd lost her husband years ago, and all of a sudden she's surprised one day as Christ enters into her life. Her lesson is called Joy in Serving, and she reminds us that service is not meant to be merely dutiful or heavy. Joy is such an attractive quality in a person. Joyful women are peaceful, they're service-oriented, and most importantly, they're prayer-focused. They receive their joy from the Holy Spirit. Our delight is in God and less so in our circumstances. And I think that really sums up Anna. She's an inspiration for us all as we grow more deeply in love with God while dealing with the sometimes sobering experiences of our aging selves. The Shunammite woman taught us that home can be a place of grace. Her lesson is the rewards of hospitality. She reminds us that making room for others matters, that being inconvenienced can draw down God's grace into our hearts. By our thoughtful acts of welcome, we can experience some of the kingdom of God. As Saint Augustine reminds us, if you see charity, you see the Trinity. By our hospitality, our guests meet the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dorcas, she taught us that love becomes visible in concrete deeds. Her lesson is kindness. There is something beautiful about the simplicity with which she lived. She simply made garments for the people around her. She served her community. The gospel says she was tireless. Her kindness noticed, responded, and lightened the burdens of others. It's one of the clearest ways that our faith can become visible in our ordinary lives. Saint Teresa of Calcutta put it beautifully. We can do no great things, only small things with great love. And then we arrive at Priscilla. Her lesson is giving, living. And when we hear that after all the others, she comes to our forefront, her life almost sounds like a summary of the book. It sounds like a way of saying that prayer and joyful service and hospitality and kindness, they're all meant to be part of our generous lives offered to God. Your outline calls the chapter on Priscilla giving, living, and it defines it as life poured out for God's glory and other people's goods. And that really is Priscilla. That's why she is such a good woman with whom to end this study. Priscilla appears in the New Testament as a laywoman of the church, like we are. She and her husband, Aquila, are co-workers with Paul. They were tent makers, like he was, and they traveled with him, and they served the early Christian communities. They opened up their homes to meetings of the Christians in the early church. They helped to strengthen the church by bringing early believers together. They were described as mobile, available, faithful, and deeply invested in the growth of the church. One of my favorite things about Priscilla is that her life looks both holy and ordinary. She's not presented to us as a queen like Esther. She's not remembered for one dramatic fiat like our dear Blessed Mother. Instead, as our study says, Priscilla's greatness comes from her quiet service. She's not in the spotlight. Isn't that so encouraging? None of us live in the spotlight, yet each of us can make a difference for the love of Christ. Through our prayer and our little ordinary efforts at kindness and service, grace becomes visible right where we are, right what we're doing every day. And that's the focus of Priscilla's life. Our outline gives us four beautiful qualities of Priscilla, and I'm going to stick pretty close to those. The first one was that she was devoted to Christ. Her life was not simply memorable, scripturally speaking. It was rooted in her devotion to Christ through her devotion to Paul, Christ's servant. She and Aquila, they worked alongside Paul. They traveled for the gospel, and even to the point of almost losing their lives. Paul himself tells us in Romans 16:3-4 that Priscilla and Aquila risked their necks for his life, quote, risked their necks, he said. Her devotion to Paul and by default to Christ was courageous and wholehearted. Can we say that we would be so courageous? Are we so single focused and in love with Christ that we would give our lives? Are we detached enough to in our love for Christ? How many of us would right now say yes? Yes, Lord, here I am. I risk my life for you. And if we say no, that's okay. We don't have to doubt because our Lord gives us the grace we need in the moment we need it and not a moment before. What really does assure us that we receive the grace we need is our constancy in daily prayer, that connection we have with God. We can have the grace to do His will with that kind of connection and work out, as Philippians 2 says, work out our salvation with fear and trembling. For God is the one who, for His purpose, works in you both desire and to work. God does the work. We don't have to worry about being fully equipped. So Priscilla was devoted to Christ. And secondly, Priscilla was available. Our study includes this beautiful sentence. One of the greatest gifts we can offer God is our availability. And I had a really memorable coffee with a friend about maybe 5 years ago. She was starting retirement and she lived in McLean, and we went to this cute little coffee shop. And I asked her what she was doing with her time. And she said she was practicing availability. I thought that was really odd. And I just kept talk I kept asking her questions, that my old reporter self. I kept peppering her with questions. And it was really wild. She would wake up in the morning, walk the dog, and by the time she got back from walking the dog, someone had contacted her. And she was with a daughter or with a child, another child, or something at the church was going on, or one of their community needed her. She really lived availability. She surrendered every day to God, and he filled her days. It was really, she was so joyful, that kind of availability. So I was very impressed with her. It's such a simple and powerful truth that if we place ourselves in God's hands, he's happy to use us. Priscilla was available to move, to serve, to host, and to teach. She was available to be useful in the hands of God. And availability is such a good model for us because it doesn't depend on being extraordinary. It begins with a posture and a heart that says, "Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will." This is one of the reasons Priscilla is relevant right now. Not all of us have the same gifts. Not all of us have the same strength, the same health, the same schedule, the same opportunities, right? But every one of us can grow in availability to God. Saint Francis of de Sales tells us, "Do not wish to be anything but what you are, and then try to be that perfectly." Yeah, I think that summarizes our availability. We surrender to him. Third, Priscilla used what she had. Our study says that Priscilla used her home, her work, her time, her knowledge. She didn't begin with what she lacked. She began with what she had. There's a few great examples of this in our current culture that I wanted to call to your attention. One is Dallas Jenkins. Do you know who he is? He was the founder of the program called The Chosen. He produced a little short, and it wasn't that popular, and he was really prayerful and in kind of a crisis mode when he surrendered to God. He said, "I gave God my five loaves and two fish." That's kind of his motto. And that's why The Chosen starts with the fish floating around the water. And that little prayer that he made, that little bit of surrender, God used his director talents, because he had talent as a director, he knew film, to produce the series, the crowdfunding series of The Chosen. He didn't know that there'd be one or two or seven or eight or 10 of the series, because it depended on how people had received it and whether they funded it. He's had more than 1 billion episode views of The Chosen. It's in 175 countries. And it's the only program of its scale that is successful as a crowd-funded program. Wow. He used what he had, five loaves and two fish. Another example is right from the same story, which is Jonathan Rumi. He's cast as the person of Jesus in the series, The Chosen. And he was in a moment of surrender in May 2018. He was an actor in LA, and he couldn't even pay his rent at this point. And he knelt down and he made a prayer of surrender. And that day, two unexpected checks appeared that enabled him to pay his rent and whatever other bill that he had outstanding. No guarantee for the future, but that day, God answered his prayer. And within 3 months, he was cast as Jesus in The Chosen and now has been seen by 1 billion people in episodes all over the world. He says that he could never have played the role of Jesus if he hadn't first surrendered everything to Jesus. Very spiritual person, a very beautiful man. And the final example I wanted to draw to your attention is the founder of Hallow, which is a prayer app. His name is Alex Jones. And he was a young guy, graduated, fell away from the church, no practicing faith. Got into meditation. He never says so, but I think it was probably one of those meditation apps he was using, Headspace or something like that, very popular, especially just a few years ago. And then he had an experience of Christianity and he started to explore it a bit. And he found nothing available for allowing people to meditate the way he was familiar with meditating, in the Christian sense. And so he founded this little teeny app called Hallow. and got a team together, which has been so blessed. They have a little ticker on their site right now. 1.5 billion prayers have been said through the site as of this morning. That's amazing. And not this Lent. This Lent was over 1 million people, but I think last Lent, they had 1.7 million people praying together through the series. It's just incredible how that has taken off. So if these ideas are God's will for you, He does the heavy lifting. We don't do the heavy lifting, He does. And I'm not saying that we're all called because God does not measure their success. He does not measure our success. He measures our effort. He measures our will, our surrender, right? These are beautiful examples of starting with basically nothing and having a huge influence for the kingdom of God. And God will do the same for us in big ways or little ways, depending on what His will is for us. Fourth, Priscilla helped others grow closer to Christ. In Acts 18:26, it says, Apollos began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the ways of God more accurately. And our study says that she corrected him with humility, not embarrassment, and she served the truth with grace. It's really a wonderful picture of a mature Christian woman. And I know some of you have stepped up to teach. You've led Walking with Purpose groups. You have spoken here. Maybe you've spoken at other Bible studies. Maybe you've run Bible groups now in the past. I know most of us have raised children, which is a big job of teaching. And these days, what about right now? What about this upcoming summer? Do you anticipate reaching others for Christ? This all goes back to our prayer, our constancy in prayer. God will show us who He wants us to reach on His behalf. Many moons ago, in my early 30s, I had three or four kids, and I wasn't very spiritual. And one of my girlfriends was. And she asked me if I would use my home, like you have so graciously, Gail, to host a group for the moms in our parish. And I said, for what? And she said, for a Bible study. And I was like, no, sorry, I'm not going to do that. And I went out walking that day with a girlfriend pushing a stroller. And I was saying to her, can you imagine? Like, she wants me to use my home for a Bible study. And well, my friend said, what a good idea. I would come. And I was like, really? And then that friend told another friend of mine, and that friend let me know that she would come. So that was already three, plus the leader, Judy was her name. And then I had a party on a Friday night, and my house was full of people, and the phone rang. And another woman called me and said, in the middle of the party, are you starting a Bible study next Wednesday at your house? And I said, I am. Yes, I am. And it went for 15 years. And so many young moms came through. We had our kids with us, and it was so blessed. We had priests come, we had speakers come. Sometimes we didn't have anybody come, we just did the study. But I had no intention of doing that. God did the heavy lifting. He told me who He wanted me to influence. He sent me the leader to lead it because I didn't know what I would be doing there. It was really beautiful. It was a great example. So, Living Giving is an excellent title. Giving Living is the way it's put. And it doesn't describe one isolated action. It describes a posture, a style of discipleship, and a whole way of belonging to Christ, and through there, serving others. I like what Saint Bernard of Clairvaux says as a summary. The measure of love is to love without measure. Loving Christ and through Christ others. As a parting challenge, because I can't leave without challenging you just a little bit, I would like to recommend that you take some quiet time this summer to kind of pick the fruits of your Bible study this year. Maybe review your notes, maybe taking one or two chapters a week, go back to the beginning of the book, reread the applicable Bible verses. Recall the conversations from your small groups. Check the inspirations you had. What notes did you make? What were your thoughts? What were you doing? Check your calendar. What was I doing when I was reading this chapter on Dorcas? And then pick those fruits for yourself. Maybe reflect, where do I feel weak and inadequate? Do I really believe that God will supply what I lack? Why is giving living the best choice, the best way to live? What kind of woman do I want to be in the years I have left? And then I challenge you, maybe late August, after you've spent the summer rereading, pondering, reflecting, take a day or two and maybe write your own chapter. What would that look like? Just a chapter right out of the book. How are you serving? How are you being a hostess? What are your gifts and how are you using them for Christ? How have you incorporated these lessons? What have you learned from these women? Not just the women from the book, but these women. We are not leaving this Bible study behind. We're carrying these women forward into our ongoing reflection, into our summer and beyond. Priscilla shows us that exceptionally, that an ordinary life can be poured out for God's glory and for other people's good in a very everyday way. It can happen in daily morning prayer, in a simple invitation to someone in need, a quiet act of unexpected kindness towards someone, the use of our home, a faithful phone call at just the right minute, a wise conversation, or a willingness to speak out directly in a group. So, as we leave this year's study, may we do so with gratitude for all the women who have accompanied us this year. Priscilla was a woman devoted to Christ and available to God, willing to use what she had and to help others grow. She's a woman who lived giving living. May our prayer be that the Lord will make our lives like Priscilla's, prayerful at the root, joyful in service, hospitable, kind, and beautifully available to Him. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Oh. That goes in prayer.
Yeah.
Prayer.
Yep. Yep, go ahead. All right. You're going to.
Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for the gifts and graces that you have given us, given each of us in our friendship with each other, given each of us as we've had so many beautiful teachings this year, given me as I have been able to speak your words, and given them, all these beautiful women, the grace to receive what your message is for them. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Goodbye, ladies.
Thank you so much, Mary Beth. That was beautiful. What I would like to do, ha have y'all heard of this thing called StoryWorth? Has anybody sent that to you?